Chapter number 48.
In Ezekiel chapter 48, we have we're going to try to establish a principle that will help us understand a name of Christ or a name of God. We're actually going to look at two different names of God tonight. It's an interesting Bible study if you wanted to go through and look all the different names that God is called inside the Word of God. It teaches you so much about Him, teaches you so much about His attributes, who He is. That's what the Word of God is. It's revealing Himself to man. And here in Ezekiel chapter number 48, which is not the primary passage for tonight, but there's an interesting phrase in here I'd like for you to think about for a few minutes as we consider what is so special about Christmas. What is so special about Christmas? Now, Ezekiel is not something that you would see lots of people studying. We should study the whole Word of God. It's a little bit one of those deeper books. It's one of those that's going to take some serious time, some serious study, some real effort to really truly understand and get understanding what everything's being presented here. In the last chapter, Ezekiel chapter 48, you have the description of the, it's talking about the upcoming Jerusalem. It's a picture of Jerusalem someday. It's a picture of the future city of God. It's a picture of Zion, what the Lord is going to do. And here in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse number 35, it says, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Now, so this is the climax of the whole book, specifically the whole chapter. And what it's saying at the end here, what makes it so special someday, is not the gates, it's not the walls, it's not the beauty, it's the fact that the Lord is there. And I want to try tonight to establish a principle. What makes Christmas so special is the fact that the Lord is there. And what made Bethlehem so special? And once again, a pregnant lady traveling in, having a baby in a stable, you know, that might arise a little bit of attention, but probably not. But what made it special is the fact the Lord was there. And I wanted to try to help us understand that as we celebrate Christmas and the whole purpose and meaning for Christmas, and what's going to make it a very meaningful day tomorrow for those that are believers is when we remember this, that the Lord is there. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church and this church family. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word on such a special night. God, as we consider and remember what you did for us, as we consider the name Jehovah Shammah, as we consider the name Emmanuel, God with us, Lord, help us to not forget that you're always with us as believers. And Lord, that is a very comforting fact, but it's also a very convicting fact. And Lord, what really truly Christmas is all about and what can truly make it a meaningful day of worship and a meaningful day is not just the decorations and food and presents and even seeing family, but it's the constant reminder that the Lord is there. Lord, help us to understand some powerful truths out of your word tonight. And Lord, help us to take them with us tonight. And Lord, as we're celebrating and enjoying family traditions with one another, help us never forget the most important part was the fact that God came and dwelt among us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you think about that. I don't know about you, that phrase is something I thought about and been thinking about for a little while. And it's something that just stuck with me because I've been planning on Christmas Eve or sometime in the Christmas schedule preaching about different gifts. And the one gift that we're talking about tonight is the gift of his presence. And it means so much if we'll understand that he's with us. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a little while. But I want you to think about it. If you go throughout all the Word of God and you see different places that were special, things that were just powerful, what was the purpose and why was it special? Go back to the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm sure it was beautiful. It must have been amazing to see the animals together. It must have been amazing to see all the different beauty that was in there. It was perfect. And then you come to this spot, but what made it special? It's the fact that God was there, that God walked with Adam in the evening. And you go and you think about the tabernacle. Nothing more than a tent out in the middle of the wilderness, but it's the place that had the presence of God. And then they build this huge temple. And I mean, the temple was beautiful. People would come and just look at it.
But what made it special? I mean, there was other buildings that were temple. There's beautiful. There's other buildings that had gold. Other buildings had silver. They had all those things. It's the fact that God was there. You go through and you see the stories in the Gospels. And you understand all the different things that happened in the Gospels and all the different turns. But what made it special was God was there. And you think about church. And I love church. I've been going to church my entire life. I like church music. I like church fellowships. Some things that people don't really enjoy about church, these are things that I really enjoy and I'm excited about. But what makes it special is because the Lord is here. The Bible says, even in the book of Matthew 18, verse 20, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. What makes it special about assembling is not just the singing. It's definitely not the preacher. It's not the fact that all our friends and our family is here. It's the fact that this is the place where we meet God. And I want to try to help you understand, that's what Christmas is about, because he came and was willing to dwell among us. You continue on, you think about the future, you think about the heavens, as this chapter talked about the New Jerusalem, and it thinks about how the wonderful things and the beauty, and you could go down and make lists of streets of gold, and you're going to see your family someday, and those are all wonderful things, but in all reality, what makes it special is found in this last phrase of this last chapter of this wonderful book of Ezekiel. The Lord is there. What's going to make it special is the fact that the Lord is there. And the presence of God makes the difference in our lives and makes a difference in our time of worship. The thing that will make Christmas special for us and meaningful is when we remember the Lord is there and the Lord is with us. Now let's go ahead and take our Bibles and look in Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1, if you want to know what the Hebrew name for the Lord is there, it's Jehovah Shammah. And it just means that the Lord is there. You go to Matthew chapter number 1, we're introduced to another name of God, and it's found in this one that we know a little bit more about, is Emmanuel. As even the children's choir was singing about, it's the Lord came and he dwelt among us. You say, why does it make it special? Well, you think about it, with the Lord being there, it's a very comforting thought. It's a comforting thought for those that are going through a hard time. The Bible tells us that as believers, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells among us. So the Lord is there, and the idea that he dwells among us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And it helps those that are struggling. Think about what it says in Psalms 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And what's that next phrase? For thou art with me. You think about it, the reason why I don't have to struggle, I mean, we might be going through a good time, we might be going through a bad time, we may be on the mountaintop, we may be in the valley, we may be facing some very, very serious things in front, but even though we're walking in the shadow of death, which means death could come at any moment, I'm not afraid. Why is that? It's because the Lord is there. The Lord is with me. It's a comforting thought. I also think about, it's a comforting thought for those that are going through a hard time. It's a comforting thought for those that are overwhelmed. It's a comforting thought for those that are overwhelmed. You sit there, and I know you can become very overwhelmed with what's happening in this world sometimes. We see as America goes farther and farther away from biblical principles and loving the Lord and loving God, it's overwhelming sometimes. As Christians and as believers, we see loved ones and we see family members, we see neighbors and we see co-workers and we see people that do not know God, people that will end up, unless they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the people that will end up in a horrible place called hell. And that can be overwhelming to us because God gives us commission. But think about what the commission says in Matthew 28. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you're thinking, wow, I'm supposed to go into the whole world and tell them about God. Not only tell them about who God is and what it means to be saved, but teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. It says, not only am I supposed to teach them the way of salvation, I'm also supposed to teach them, disciple them, and see them baptized. Boy, that can be overwhelming. But what's the rest of it? It says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So sometimes when I get a little overwhelmed, and sometimes when I see the pressures of life and the pressures of maybe being a pastor or a father or a husband, and you sit there and think, what am I supposed to do? It's so comforting to know that the Lord's with me. It's such a blessing to know and understand this principle, the Lord's there. And he's promised us this in his word. Not only is it a comforting thought for those who are having a hard time or overwhelmed, I think it's a comforting thought for those that are in need. If you have a need and you know the Lord is with you, guess what? He can take care of it if he wants to. That's why he says in Hebrews 13:5, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What he's saying is that the way our conversation or our way of life doesn't have to be going around coveting other things and desiring other things for ourselves. Because what God is saying here is, hey, I'm with you. You can be satisfied with what you have. You can be content with what you have because I'm able to provide any and everything that you need. And the reason why I know that is because he's made a promise that I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know what your favorite promises are in the Bible. I know someday a home in heaven. You know, different people have different things they hold to, but the fact that God says he's going to never leave us nor forsake us, it's a wonderful thing, and it's a big encouragement. The Bible says in Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Bible says Emmanuel, God with us. As if you're a believer, you have the Lord with you at this present moment. You're not just going to be with him someday. You even have him there with you now. Think about what it says in Psalms 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand hold me." You think about what the scriptures are saying there. Is God, David, the psalmist was saying, hey, where can I go to get away from God? Is there any place? There isn't. Jonah thought he could go the other way. Flee from the presence of the Lord. It's a comforting fact. The Lord's there. Now, not only is it comforting, it also can be very convicting. You think if the Lord's there with us, there are certain things that maybe we should do and certain things that maybe we shouldn't say. So you might ask the question, what does this have to do with Christmas? That idea of the Lord is there, and here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Word of God says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now here's the thing is, it says that God actually came and dwelt among us. That's the amazing thing about Christmas. The God of heaven came to earth. The God of holiness came to sinful man. It's the revelation of the heart of God. What's God's heart? God's heart was to be with man. And you think about it, in the garden, he desired to be with him. It's the revelation that God, from the beginning, desired to be with man and for man's desire to be with God. But the problem is, he didn't want anything between us. The problem is, why would God have to come to dwell among us? It's because of our sin issue. So in my mind, the Lord is there is very similar to God with us. So today, you think about it. Why would God have come? And we're singing wonderful songs. The ladies' choir did a good job talking about the reason of Christmas. This group sang down here, the children's choir, God came and dwell among with us. It's because there was a sin problem in our lives. Imagine on one side you have God, on the other side you have people. And there's a great gulf in between the two. When Jesus came to this world to die, he became our advocate. He became our deliverer. He literally became our mediator to go between God and man. He was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ connects us with God. He's the one that gives us the opportunity to have a relationship. God is on one hand, we're on the other hand. It's our sin that separates us. It's the law of a holy God that separates us. And we cannot get to God on our own. But that's why the Bible says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." The songwriter once said, "When I could not come to where he was, he came to me." That's why he died on Calvary. That's the principle of Emmanuel. It says in verse number 23, interpreted, God with us. You have God and you have us on, but there's a great gulf between the two. And Jesus Christ paid that penalty and gave us an opportunity to go to heaven. The principle of the name Emmanuel is the idea of reconciliation. If we look at him at the cross, we see him dying for our sins. We see him bleeding and dying for the sins of mankind. He is the one that bridges the gap from us to God. You think about that name Emmanuel is found first in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You go back and you study out that scripture a little bit. It's a comforting thing. They're speaking. Isaiah, the prophet, is there and he's speaking to the king. And he's saying all these, don't worry about this, don't worry about this. And he says, look, Emmanuel's coming. The Lord with us. The Lord will take care of us. You think about it. As a person who knows Christ, it's a very comforting thing because he's with us always. He has come to be with us in the presence and he dwells among us in the person, the Holy Spirit of God. But to those that do not know Christ, this should also be comforting too. Why would he have came if he did not want you to know him? The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And the encouragement today for a sinner is Christmas is a perfect example of how God loves you and God wants you to be in a right relationship with him. And you can know him tonight because of the fact he was willing to come and dwell among us. So what makes Christmas so special? It's the fact that God is with us. So if we went across the room and we said, okay, what is so special about Christmas to you? There's a lot of lists. There's things that we enjoy. There's traditions. Some people like to eat. I don't know about you. I like to eat. Different people eat different things for Christmas, but there are certain things in my, you know, family traditions that there's certain things you're supposed to eat, certain things you're not supposed to eat for Christmas. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I remember sitting down the first time when I didn't have turkey for Christmas, and I looked around and said, hey, where's the turkey at? I thought they were hiding it from me. It's just because that's the tradition that we had. Now, we've created new traditions with our family, obviously, now, and we do different things, but there's people like gifts. Some people say it's family that makes it really special. And family does make it special. Some people think that, hey, the decorations are great. Some people think Christmas Eve service, kids singing, all those things. I agree. All those things have value. But what's truly going to be meaningful for you as a believer is when you remember that the Lord is there. What makes it special is the fact that God was willing to come and dwell among us. That negates everything else. Because if Christ wasn't there, would the angels have sung? Would the shepherds have come? Would the wise men, whenever you think they showed up, whatever that is, and there's a debate about that, and the wise men, they wouldn't have come. Is it the star? All those things are special. But what makes it very special is the fact that God is there. Amen. The Lord is there. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you're thinking about your Christmas, you're thinking about your traditions, thinking about all the things you're going to do, all the things you're going to say, all the things you have left to do, and it's already, you know, almost 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. You got all these presents to wrap. You got all these. I understand. It's overwhelming sometimes. But it doesn't matter. The Lord's going to be there. And that's the most important thing. So as we consider tomorrow and you consider the presence of God, help it to be a comfort to you, whether you're going through a difficult time, whether you're going through an overwhelming time, or whether you're going through a time where you wish you had more. Comfort yourself in God's presence. Now, to a person that does not know Christ, the Bible says that God with us. It says that they shall call his name Emmanuel, because being God interpreted, God with us. What that is saying is that God became man, dwelt among us, to bridge that gap that sin caused between man and God. Because of sin, we're unable to get to heaven. Because of sin, we have gone against a holy God. And the Bible says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the comforting thing about Christmas is, it's the fact that it speaks volumes of the love of God for us. God's love sent his son down the cross to die for us. We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by our unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God. But if you truly do not know Christ today, If you're standing on the one side and you know that you can't get to God because of your sin and your sin has stopped you and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know you can do that tonight. The greatest thing you could ever do is to see yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior and see what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you when he died and he was buried and he rose again for our salvation. He became our advocate, our mediator. He bridged that gap for us. He came when we could not get to him. So I don't know what maybe you're trusting in or what faith that you have in tonight. If it's anything else besides what Jesus Christ did on that cross when he died and was buried and rose again from the tomb, then you need him tonight. You're without him. And you have nothing to comfort you. So tonight, do you know him? I want to encourage you in the word tonight to think about these two names. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord will be there. The Lord will be there. The Lord's going to be there. That's why heaven's going to be special. And then you think about the New Testament word, Emmanuel, God with us. To me, they're very close. Obviously, they have a little bit of difference, but the Lord is there with us. So tomorrow, as you're celebrating, don't forget, you're not going to be able to leave the presence of God when you want to go do something sinful or wicked. He's going to be there. And also remember, to those that do not know Christ, you can know him. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die, that you go to heaven by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a quick question.